This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scooch or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. We have a host of extremely great gentlemen in studios today, and we're going to talk about a number of issues. We're going to have a very, very good conversation. And we would like for the general public to know that this show is dedicated to making improvements to the country, find problems that have been affecting us for many, many years, bring persons around the country and outside the country who have experience and knowledge on great ideas on how we can take this country forward. I would just like to give out a public announcement for some of the activities that will be happening in the community. Beginning March 9th, that's next week, Wednesday, on McPherson Park, Hay Street. For 3 weeks, Lenahan, Bahamas, will be hosting a basketball tournament for 3 weeks. The age bracket for the three divisions, it's three division. The first division is ages 8 to 13. And it'll be 6 teams, consists of 60 players. We'll go at it from the age of 8 to 13, okay? Then we have the junior division, which will have 40 players, 10 on each team. So there'll be 40 players in the junior division. Brings a total of 100 players. Then we have the senior division, beginning at the ages of 17 to 18 and over. 60 players. So in total, we have 160 players will be on McPherson Park, Hay Street. So we're asking all those who participate in the tournament over the years, which has been going on for 23 years, but we switched specific events over to our organization that have been assistance in the community to give them a strong presence in the community. So we have incorporate Lenahan Bahamas in their second annual basketball tournament. So this is just to bring the community together. We like Mason Edition to attend. We like Fowler Street to attend. We like Bantan to attend. Anglistan, anywhere where we have basketball players who would like to come and enjoy themselves for a fun time. We had 19 months of the COVID-19. The government right now is easing restriction on the COVID-19 protocols. And, you know, our kids have been just going crazy, obese, and, you know, just idle. So we're trying to start positive programs to get in the community, to get them in a positive direction, to get them fit to go back to school for physical education. And just my last reminder, I'd just like to say to the Ministry of Works, responsible for the road, I see you guys are serving the road. You guys are patching the potholes. So I'd like to say keep it up, and I'd like for residents in the country to also use the Google map, find where the Ministry of Works is. And if you have a pothole and your road is really, really bad, report it. So why is they doing the survey? So that you don't get left out, because you know our roads are real, real bad. All of Nassau Road is bad, okay? So we like the stance the government is taking. I know it's going to be very expensive to fix this road. So we like just a reminder that if you have potholes or your road is bad, or if you need speed bumps, or if your light is off, you know, use the time and stop waiting on government. Just look up Google Map, find the corporation or the company, call them up, you know, and so they can assist you to get the roads right and get the lights fixture. Okay, we have some wonderful guests in studio tonight. We have here Dr. Sean Knowles. He just came in, just landed here in National Providence. We have Ian Murray. Everyone knows, we should call him Dr. Ian Murray in studio today. And we have the one of Drifters Carlos in studio today. So he set this whole thing up today, and we're going to have a wonderful conversation. So we're going to let Mr. Ian Murray or Mr. Sean Knowles introduce himself. But since you just touched on the country, so I think we owe you the honor of introducing yourself to the general public. Let us know your profession and what you're trying to accomplish while you're here.
Great. Good afternoon, Bahamas. Thank you for having me, Valentino. And to my fellow classmates, Ian and Ricardo, so good to be able to join you guys today. My name is Dr. Knowles. I am a physician. I work at the San Luis Rehabilitation Center. I'm also the co-chief executive officer for Emmanuel Medical Center that I also serve with my fellow classmate, my best friend, Dr. Noad Morgan. So wow. We all graduated together from St. Augustine's College. My area is definitely in men's health, particularly mental health, where I find that there is a great need currently in this Bahamas. And so one of the mandates I'm trying to establish is for the Ministry of Health to make it a necessity for men to be able to have access to mental health resources because of the fact that we're dealing with depression, anxiety, substance use disorders, gambling disorders, so a whole lot of issues that we are faced with. And if we don't address these issues now, we're going to have a serious public health issue on our hands. And so that's what I'm basically doing now as a physician and as a fellow Bahamian.
Wow. Mr. Knowles, I must say, you are here at the right moment, at the right time, because if you look at our young men and you look at our females, you'll see many young men out there walking around like they're lost. Many people who even look insane are lost, going through a lot of stress, a lot of suffering in the country. So I think what you're saying, to pass it, to get government to understand the importance of it. I'd just like to say this. Just recently, I was with Dr. David Allen at the Ministry of National Security. They made me one of the advisors on the board of the Ministry of National Security. And I told them we had a seminar with a group with the Road to Peace. They had a seminar where I was a partner. And we ended up with this group, Violence Interrupter, I think it was. And they came up with their scientific analogy of studying at-risk persons. They get the final note that violence, okay, is actually a disease and should be treated like a mental disease, like how you treat AIDS, how you treat cancer. So you're trying to say the same thing is required.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And hopefully after tonight's discussion, Bahamians have a better understanding of why that is so.
Okay, let's get Mr. Ian Murray. Let's introduce himself.
Okay.
No
problem. Ian Mora, also known as Bongo Ian. I am a teacher, recently administrative assistant at Program Shaw, which is the Ministry of Education's behavior modification program for at-risk youth. I've been there for about 16 years now, working with the youth in that program. Prior to that, I worked in the Grantstown community through the Indaba Project, where we ran a after-school program. I would say a community building program that covered a number of areas. I was a part of that from 2001. Of course, I'm also a part of the Rastafari community, so I've been involved with that work from then until now also.
Wow, that's crazy. And you see the tie-in? You were at risk to the school, and then you were a doctor who was dealing with dealing with the whole issue, you're just not just school, you're talking about the whole entire complex of it could be marriage, it could be someone who's going through depression. It's anyone, any male who is going through a stressful time. So tell us a little bit, Dr. Knowles. I see Scrubber's in studio. I want to just say good night, Scrubber. Scrubber has been the sponsor for the show for the past 3 weeks. I don't want to say thanks to him for sponsoring Inside the Inner City Scrubber Stone of Joey's restaurant and bar and fish fry. And Scrubber also has made progress. He's looking to expand his business to Canada. And that's what I like to see when young persons take that opportunity and they take it and they grasp it and they keep on looking at the future. I'd also like to say thanks to Sebastian for being appointed again by the new Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas and Brave Davis on being an ambassador again. So that's real good. Anyone who keep on striving, you know, I want to give a thumbs up. Okay. Dr. Knowles,
yes,
when we look at the courts, when we look at the police, when we look at persons who live in the inner city community or live in Nassau the whole, when there's some people who go before the courts, we don't know that they're mentally ill, and we treat them like insane people. And then they end up in Fox Hill Prison. And just recently, we saw where we had a person with that kind of diagnosis who had them kind of going through those stages in life, was admitted to Fox Hill Prison, right? And he eventually, they were found him dead in the cell. And they said he had some type of mental problem, but he was admitted to the prison and had a mental illness. No one did no studies on him. No one did no x-rays on him. He just was put in the prison in a harsh environment. Now he passed away, and now they're trying to find out what went wrong. What went wrong is I think they did not diagnose him in the first place, even when he was charged, to see if he had a mental issue. So tell us a little bit of the experience of persons who you have met or who you are dealing with right now, these type of problems we are facing in the country.
Yes, okay. So you hit the nail right on the head, Valentino. If persons have undiagnosed mental illness, of course they're not going to get the proper treatment that they need. Sad enough to say, we have a serious stigma about mental illness in this country, which is the reason why myself and quite a few of my colleagues in the profession, we speak out so candidly about it, because I like to use the analogy, persons who have heart disease or high blood pressure or diabetes, you know, we're okay with them taking medication, but then if somebody has major depressive disorder or schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, we look at them in a strange way as to why they're taking medication. So this has to start with our change in our whole thinking. Our thinking is very twisted and warped when it comes to mental health, and we're going to continue to pay a price for it. And so with regards to that, I think it behooves the government to establish mental health resources on all of the islands, you know, not just New Providence, not just Grand Bahama. I'm talking about all of the islands. When we talk about Long Island, you know, not to pick on Long Island or Eleuthera, but when I visited those islands, I was really surprised about the amount of alcohol consumption on those islands. In Andros, very concerned about the marijuana use. In Grand Bahama, cocaine seems to be on the rise again. And so if we do not put measures in place to help people with these issues, it's not only going to become a problem, we're going to suffer for it as a society. And with that, violence will continue to ensue. And interestingly, regarding the police force, I do believe that they really need to be educated on how to handle people with mental illnesses. And in fact, I did a presentation about 2 months ago, and I'm also trying to see if I can get another presentation going where I can educate our law enforcement officers on how to deal with persons with mental illnesses. Because if you don't know how to respond, you know, that may lead to, unfortunately, unnecessary deaths or harm to that individual. And it starts by education. Wow. We need to be educated in our country about mental illness.
I'm glad you bring up that point. Just recently, we had two incidents where a mother and a sister made a call to the police concerning one of their relatives who were acting, you know, probably having a mental breakdown. Right. And they didn't mean no harm of calling the police, but the person had a cutlass in their hand, for instance, mm-hmm. and the police were called on the scene. Mm-hmm. And then the person, like, actually, you know, even though the police was there, the police was armed. Ask yourself a question. If you know I's the police and you see me armed, with a gun in my hands, I might be carrying any type of gun. It could be a 40, it could be a 9mm, it could be a Uzi or whatever, standing up. It's 2-3 hours, standing up on the side. A person with a cutlass in his hand, the police said, drop the cutlass. But the person doesn't drop the cutlass. The person makes a move and tries to make a move in the direction of the police. And the police, ultimately, you know, they are not properly trained, mm-hmm. but through the person's arm and has a cutlass, they are, you know, mm-hmm. and the person was actually killed.
Right.
But when you listen to the story, you would hear that the person was going through a mental lapse.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So these are the kind of things that you want to bring and discuss to the Royal Bahamas Police Force
Absolutely.
In these instances.
Yes, so, and all of our law enforcement officers. And so, Valentino, I'm all about prevention.
Prevention.
If we can prevent a lot of these issues from happening, we'll be a better society for it. You know, we tend to be very reactive. We wait until things happen before we try to do something about it. And I think that's part of our problem as a society. So again, you know, I stress the importance of us now taking mental illness very seriously, particularly in light of the fact that depression is regarded as the number one disease worldwide.
So one, run that back one more time. What is the number one disease?
So let me be more specific. The World Health Organization projected in 2013 that by 2030, the depression would be the number one disease. You know, right now it's heart disease. However, with the COVID situation globally that has impacted the entire world, we recognize that we are much closer, if not at that point already, where depression is the number one disease. You have a lot of people who are walking around depressed, seriously depressed. And one of the interesting things that I'm finding amongst us men here in the Bahamas, that depression is manifested in anger, which is why I said I agree with you that we have a disease when it comes to violence. Because if a man is angry, chances are he's not able to think straight and he's going to do you know, things that maybe bring harm to other persons who he's angry with, or if somebody, you know, makes him mad. And so if we deal with the root of the problem, which is the depression, we'll be able to curtail the anger and the violence. In addition to that, a lot of our young men, we don't know how to conflict resolute. We don't know how to properly, you know, resolve issues. And if we're not being taught, if our young men are not being taught these things that are basic, vital, how are they going to function when the stresses of life continue to compound?
Wow, just be overwhelming. Yeah, you're in the schools. Do you see some of these characteristics in students that Dr. Knowles is talking about?
Well, of course, by time as a student is sent to program, sure. There would have had to have been some
call
display
right
of anger or violence or threat of violence in order for them to get there, right? And as he said, there's the surface issue, which is them acting out. Then there are these root issues.
Root issues.
Exactly. There are these root issues that the less they are able to articulate it, the more frustrating it becomes for them. Mm-hmm. And out of frustration comes violence. Not just anger. Because anger could mean like me and you rowing. But if I'm already frustrated before we even interact, like, it's not just the anger that's at the root of it. It's that frustration from, I was just in a meeting with some officers talking about a gentleman who robbed some people during the pandemic, who robbed them of their food at the food store. And it was a joke for most people. It really was, you know, like, you know, he must be a Joneser or something, but apparently, what he said was he had a woman at home who was really stressing him out about providing, and he had to make a way, you know, and out of frustration, he does what he did, you know? And so it's one thing that leads to another. And as young people, you find that people have an idea that because they're young, they're resilient. But they're carrying a lot of burdens.
A lot of burdens.
And they don't have a safe place to be able to exchange these stories other than with each other. And so I heard him, you heard him. I don't have anyone to guide me. You don't have anyone to guide me. So we're going to figure this out together. Hence the gang interaction now, as you would be an expert on,
yes.
You know? And so we have to be able to create these spaces. And that was what the Indaba project was about,
yes.
In the community. Indaba itself is a African term It simply means let's come together and talk about our issues.
Wow.
And the more mechanical, the more technological, the more developed along a certain trajectory we move, the more we are removed from each other and the more we have depression. Because as human beings, when Homo sapiens sapiens walked out of Africa and went into other parts of the earth, it was through them being in families that gave them a particular advantage.
The village concept.
You know, and because we've moved away from the village concept, now we're seeing
individuals by themselves.
Yeah, because the village is like a thread interwoven together. When we move away from that and we as individuals, there becomes these cracks and people fall through. But one of the things that the pandemic, for me, I think about things very differently, probably why I draw the rest of our eyes. Okay. You know, I think about things very differently. The pandemic actually exposed the cracks. The pandemic didn't create anything. It exposed the cracks. So now we had a lot of children who were not surviving in the education system. And they were slipping through the cracks because everyone was focusing on those who could survive.
Yeah.
Then the pandemic came and we realized, hold on, there's a whole lot. So now we're giving ourselves a chance to really deal with the problem.
Wow.
As opposed to ignoring it or putting some sort of superficial response to it. Mm. The pandemic actually gave us a reset to be able to come back or move forward rather, but move forward more intelligently, more realistically, so that we could have better results.
Wow, awesome. Dr. Sean Knowles, what you're doing right now is very important because, you know, we listened to Commissioner Bleese and he stated the fact that the Royal Bahamas Police Force has to do a lot of training. Our kids in school has to do a lot of training. Our nurses has to do a lot of training, okay? The officers who sit down to the front desk in the station need some training because they have a serious anger problem. And us as citizens who live in these communities also have a problem. So we have a lot of problem. But your initiative right now at the medical center, it should be number one priority also because, like I said before, me, Dario, all of us, we had mental issues. Even though we were looking like we are fit, we were not fit because we were not thinking straight. We had a lot of stress on us as young people in the country. So what are we going to do? I'm going to take this call because this could be someone who wants to be a part of the show, and then we're going to get back to you, Mr. Knowles. Go ahead, caller.
Good day to this Dark Universe.
Good day.
We need justice, law, and order in this country, you all. Scooch,
okay.
Ian, Dr. Knowles, Raymond Allen, Ferguson here. Dr. Knowles.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good evening, of course. I have a problem with a guy, right? I understood he'd been to silence on several occasions. He comes on my property. He destroys my property. I had him to court. His mother told the court that he is crazy. Okay, at one time, of course, I had him to court on several occasions. The magistrate put out warrant. He hadn't came to court the last time. The magistrate put out warrant for his arrest, right? He continued coming on my premises, moving things, doing things, destroying my property. Occasionally, he sleeps on my walkway. I'm physically blind. Now, I've called the police over and over and over for him, right? When the police comes, the police only talk, okay? That's not helping me, okay? Mm-hmm. I need something to be done with him. Okay? If he are crazy, I don't need to be putting up with his foolishness because this is my place.
You
don't know what's going
on.
Okay? So I wish his name is Ricardo Butler. His mother's name is Paula Wallace. Spence Street off Mason's Edition. I wish you would do something with him because let me show you something. If I were to do something, I would get locked up. So please, do something with him for me, please.
Thank you very much. I like we were saying, it's a mental health issue. The police can't help you because I have an uncle just like that. And, you know, he is in prison now, serving 1 month. I mean, 1 year in prison. He broke pretty breaky glass. But he was the one who broke pretty breaky glass. You know him too, Brimham, right? Ain't nothing we could do for him in a particular instance. I don't know if Dr. Norris can do something about that, because if the police go to him and lock him up, they put him before the court, he gets locked up, he come back or go right back and do the same thing on your property again. It's a mental health issue. I think we need a professional doctor. I think let Dr. Norris answer that.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin with that, Valentino, to be honest with you. But let me start off by saying this, Mr. Ferguson. One thing I would like for you to do is to drop the word crazy out of your vocabulary. Because when you do that, you put labels on people and you cause people not to want to get the help that they need.
Wow.
That's the first thing. So if you can, all of us, if we can do away with that word, crazy. Wow. I don't even joke around with it anymore.
Wow.
Because you don't know who's sitting next to you, who may be dealing with a mental issue, and that may just push them away from getting the help that they need.
Mm.
Secondly, I would say that there are proper channels that you have to go through, and it seems like you've done that. You've gotten the police involved. He's been taken before the magistrate. We do have a forensic unit at the San Luis Rehabilitation Center where persons who have mental illnesses, but of course they have issues in terms of obeying the law, where they can remain at it for an extended period of time until they're deemed fit to return back to the court or to society.
Wow.
All right. So in that particular instance, without even knowing his details, you know, there's always that issue about medical compliance. Is he using substances that is definitely offsetting the benefit of the medication? You have to look at that. What is his family support?
Wow.
What is his, socially, how is he coping? Is he stressed out about money, not being able to take care of himself, nowhere to sleep, nowhere, you know, no food, no clothing, and all of that? All right. And so you have to look at all of this. This is not a quick fix problem.
Wow.
You know, that we would want to have happen, but the fact of reality is it doesn't work that way. And I think if we change the way that we see our fellow Bahamians, that's the starting point for us to be able to tackle this problem and tackle it the right way.
I didn't know all those components out of just now. So you're real professional. You came up with so much different components that I didn't realize that, you know. So it's good to have professionals, you know, and he explained that very well, you know. And like he said, you know, you don't know who is on the side of you going to a drama. We might look like we are fit, but we are not fit, you know. Scrubber, owner of Jovius, everything all right? You want to say a quick word? You want to say good night to anyone?
Yes, you know.
Time to show your support.
Listen and learn from Doc over here, some gentleman here.
Okay, just you know, to show your support.
I listen.
Yeah, right, I tell so. You, listen to some good stuff, yeah. Man. There's some good stuff. So,
if I could ask, I think the call kind of gave an example to what Dr.
Yes.
Rose was saying.
Yes, yes.
Because there requires a systematic response.
Constant.
Right.
The person tried that, and that still isn't working. And so it means that the whole system has to be looked at,
mm-hmm.
and figured out what changes need to be done.
Yes.
Based on people's reality.
Yes.
Not just, you know, what somebody in an office is thinking.
Yes.
Based on people's reality. What needs to happen? What do we need to create? Because
right.
what doesn't exist, we just need to create
so
it.
So that person wasn't even supposed to go before the court?
Yes and no. And let me say it this way. The reason why I say that is because if persons, we all have rights. Let me just say that.
Yes.
Even a person who has a mental illness has rights. All right? If he's not able to really accept the fact that he has a mental illness and he continues to do what he's doing, we have to provide some help for him, and that may entail bringing him before the courts so that he can be sent
okay.
to San Luis to get the help that he
okay,
needs.
Okay, okay, I understand. Right? Okay.
And during that time, and the approach that I take and a lot of my colleagues is known as the biopsychosocial spiritual approach in treating patients. And if I can break that down.
Break it down. I like that.
So when we talk about biologically, you have to understand that some families have a genetic predisposition for mental illnesses. Okay?
Wow.
Be it whether they suffer from low serotonin levels that causes them to develop major depression, major depressive disorder. Some families have a very strong, if I may use the word, allergic reaction to THC. And so it requires them not to even smoke marijuana because it's going to cause them to develop a psychosis. Not everybody, but I'm just saying there's a genetic vulnerability in some of us as,
wow.
as persons and our families. That other component of related to the bio also entails pharmacotherapy, medication. We have tried trusted proven medication that do help. In addition to the diet and all of that, definitely, okay? But you factor that in, and again, the pharmacotherapy for a lot of persons may be what is needed, and if they're not adherent, that's gonna cause them not to remain well.
Wow.
Certainly the psycho part of it, psychologically, what is he dealing with? Was he molested when he was a child? Is
all this gotta come into account.
Yes, all of that.
I didn't know all that.
The talk therapy, to help him. A lot of us men, we don't talk. We deal with issues and we internalize them, and that's what causes
us to keep it inside.
Yeah, to act, you know, in a way that is not pleasing. Then the social part of it I just touched on. You know, we have to address if he's not working, how is he gonna take care of himself? He can't pay his bills, he can't find food. All of that needs to be addressed, and that's why I'm begging the Department of Social Services to let's try to see what we can do to help persons, give them at least a start in getting their lives back on track. And then last but not least, spirituality. You know, majority of Bahamians believe in God.
Yes.
You know, even the atheist has a belief. He believes that there's no God. And so that spirituality, that helps persons to be able to put their faith in God to help them, you know, to get through whatever they need to get through. And so when you treat the whole person, Valentino, that's where we're falling short. Ian mentioned a very good point. Yeah. The system isn't working because we are not treating the entire individual.
Yes.
Compounded by the fact that we have this ridiculous notion of mental health in this country. You know, even here on the name Sandilands, people laugh at it, make jokes about it, but it's a hospital.
It's a hospital.
And if we weren't around, imagine how many people we would have who would be very mentally ill in this nation.
Wow.
So our thinking needs to change.
Yes, I agree, sir.
I
agree. Even my thinking, hearing you change my thinking, because I didn't know it was all so important. You had to see if I was molested. You had to see if I have food. You had to see if I'm not waking. You know, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. We're going to take this call. We can take this call.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, good night. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I just wanted to call in because I thought that the topic was such an important one, and we don't hear enough about it, especially in developing countries. I find that, like the good doctor is saying, that you have persons who actually have a genetic disposition to depression. Their bodies absorb serotonin too quickly. So by lunchtime, they're depressed and they don't even know why they're depressed. And you have to actually get with the right doctor. It's very important that you see the right people, because if you don't, and it's also important to know your genetic history, to know whether or not this is something that your parents suffered from, so that the next generation can pinpoint these things quicker than the previous generation, so that they don't suffer as long as the previous generation did. And a lot of things, too, you know, there's a lot of stigma attached to mental disease. Mental disease is, like the good doctor says, if you have a broken arm, you go to the doctor, you get an x-ray, you put on a cast. You take medicine for the pain. So persons are afraid to take medicine for mental illnesses. And they're also afraid to confide in others that they are on medication for mental illnesses because of the reaction that they get. And honestly, when someone is suffering from a mental disease, trust me when I tell you, you are as if you are not even in control of your body. Wow. It's like something is possessing you.
Wow.
You literally have no control of what's happening. You are at your wit's end. And anxiety coupled with depression, that is a killer. So this, I mean, I would hope that, you know, I don't hear enough of this in society, especially in our country. I think it's becoming a bit more relevant now that more people are, you know, coming to terms with it. A lot of Bahamians are afraid. You know, you tell a Bahamian that you have a therapist, they look at you like you're crazy, like the doctor said. You don't use that word. I hate to hear it. You know, because this is a real issue. It's a real condition. And other persons really have to start paying attention to this. And from the criminal side, yes, if someone is waving a cutlass at the police and he's demonstrating that he has some type of element to him that is abnormal, you know, the police should not just shoot him, or if they shoot him, they should shoot him in a place that they don't injure him fatally. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that he can get the attention that he needs. Mm. But it's a very timely topic, and we don't hear enough about it.
Oh.
But like I said, I have full first-hand experience with this, and it's something that if and when you are experiencing these sorts of things, you literally do not have any control over what's happening to your body.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just wanted to add that.
You do a lot of acting, but very good. She did well. She did well.
We want to thank you for the call.
That was some great advice just now. We're gonna take this next call and then we're gonna get back to our guests. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, but Dr. Knowles.
Yes.
You missed a point there. My point is, when he destroys my place, I have to find ways to get my place fixed.
Okay.
The thing is, he continued doing it. You all need to do something with him because nobody are doing anything about him. I don't need his problem. I want to be in peace.
Okay.
And I don't care who he are, what he have. The thing is, don't come on my premises and invade my privacy.
Thank you.
My rights.
Yeah, thank you very much. I don't think Doc
could
help you on that. I don't think Doc could help you on that. I mean, Doc have the proper institution, you know, but it takes the law, it takes the community, mm-hmm. and that's too much pressure. Oh. You know, it's just too much. It's something that we have to address. That's what Doc is saying now. That we have to put teams in place to deal with these in these particular communities. So you would like to see these kind of programs in these communities to deal with that young man.
Yes.
So yes. Until we can get to that point where in Grandstand we have a mental institution, right, in the community that deals with these type of issues, where we could have the police involved, we could have the agency involved and the community involved, then I think we're going to keep on having this problem. Because what Brayman is saying is actually true, and it happens to so many people who are being bothered from people who have, like going through problems, okay? Don't care how you try to say to them, look, you don't come on my property or stay in front of my yard. You would see them back in the front of the yard, dancing up in the yard right back. You know, it seems like when you say something to them, it actually makes them do. I don't know.
Yeah. So we're working on that caller. I mean, for those of us in mental health, on addressing these deficits. And I do agree, we have some flaws that need to be worked upon. But hopefully with time, as we educate, as we continue to talk about these issues, we'll get it resolved. In the meantime, I just encourage you to, you know, be patient with him. Certainly, if he's vandalizing your property, by all means, contact the law enforcement officers to deal with him. But if you can kind of change your thinking, too, you know, if he's hungry, if you're able to give him something to eat, you know, who knows what the difference that may make just by you showing him kindness. So I hear your frustration, and yes, there is a lot that needs to be done, and hopefully by God's grace, we will get it done.
I want to say some shout out to Philip Cryer. I know you know Philip. Teardrop. And I got my cousin Roberta Noble on Facebook. Yeah, we have a lot of issues in this country when it comes to mental. A lot of poisons and mental issues in the country, and these need to be addressed. You know, we see it in the schools. Just recently, we saw in our school, on Facebook, with some kids, you know, especially female girls, was attacking a next young girl. I think it was day before yesterday, the one particular school. All that is a mental illness. And, yeah. Talk, you want to talk and talk a little bit about that, and then I'm going to get Mr. Ian to speak on it.
Yeah.
We are seeing where an outsider who's old to school dressed casually, and then we're seeing like 6, 7, 8 other young girls going to the same school, and they are ganging next young lady who goes to the same school. Well, you think that's normal?
Where do we begin with that? Let me say, we have a pathology in our country. I mean, when we see things like that happening, and then we video record it and we send it out. You know, these are young girls. When we were growing up, I think all of us were in our 40s, I don't ever recall us, you know, carrying on that way. It's using Bahamian vernacular. It's getting to a point now where you have to ask yourself, what are we doing wrong as a society? How are we failing these young people? You know, is it because there's no father in their life? Is it because, you know, the mother wants to be friends with the daughter and wear the tight pom-pom pants, and grandmother not stepping up to her role and trying to educate and to be a more role model? You know, the problem is so multifactorial that it's very difficult to say what is the issue and what it is that we need to do. All I can say is God help us, and this is something we all have to tackle together. And it comes by, you know, education. I would love to see where we have a mental health curriculum in our schools, starting from primary school level, where we're getting our kids educated about mental illness and the importance of taking care of your mental health. For those kids that are being sexually molested, for them to know that there's an avenue for them to get help, because a lot of that is happening and we refuse to deal with it head on.
Wow.
Right? Kids who are being neglected and abused, either verbally or not being taken care of the way that they should, all of that takes a toll on them, you know, and for them now to leave an environment from home where they're stressed out to go to school, where the teacher may not understand what they're dealing with, but we expect the teachers to be the gods or the be-all to deal with that child. And so the problem doesn't get resolved, and then we're shuttling them in our system without the proper education that they need. All right, we got to fix this. We got to change things. It ain't working. All right? I was always taught that if we're doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, that's really insanity.
It is.
All right. So I don't have a straightforward answer for that, except that it is a pathology that we need to address.
One other question before Ms. Dean. Come on. Those who are standing around with their phone like this. The other kids who are smiling, laughing, and those persons who are standing around there, and they're standing up and taking pictures of the incident. Mm-hmm. Do you think they ain't seeing too? I mean, they need help too?
Most definitely. And again, it goes back to my point that we are dealing with a pathology.
Yeah.
I would like to see it be criminalized where persons video record someone with a mental illness. You see the person walking around naked. You know that he or she is not in his right mind, but yet you're going to video record it and you're going to send it out virally. That's someone's son. That's someone's daughter. That's someone's sister. That's no way to treat another human being. All right. So I would love to see where we actually impose laws to prevent and hinder people from doing things like that. And yes, it goes to shows. I mean, kids will be kids. I don't want to make excuses for that. But at the same time, you know, to record the person's fighting and you're encouraging them to fight.
I'm not trying to stop
as if
it.
They're animals. Exactly. You know, that says a lot of the thinking, the sick thinking that we have as a people and as a nation. I would like to know how are the parents of these young girls, how are they now involved? How are they dealing with this issue now? You know, is it that they either don't care about it, or they think that they should continue to fight, or they're going to beat them, thinking that beating them is going to solve the problem? How are we dealing with this now? Where do we go from there?
Wow, it's crazy. You're already passionate. You have a lot of answers. Mr. Murray, you want to comment on...
So, I gotta be me, right?
Yeah. Be you.
I think that's a little judgmental. To put people in categories based off of a video. When we were in high school and the last day of grade 9, that was a pretty hectic day for us. We turned out all right, you know? So to judge people based off of one incident and their families, I think that's a part of where we need to move away from, you know? Especially as individuals who providing the help. Because the other side of it is, if I feel judged, real or perceived, if I feel judged, then I'm not going to be willing to get the help. And one of the things that we have to do at Program Shore and working with the families and working with the young men is that we also have to work with their families. And one of the things that, especially mothers, you have to realize, when a mother has to get up 6 o'clock in the morning to get out to work, then she has to come home. Maybe she catch the bus home. Frustration from that. Then she comes home. She has to try and find food, you know, for this child or for the children that she has. It's not a matter of she's not interested or she's not a good parent. She's doing the best what she can do in a society that is not really built for her.
Or nobody.
Can I ask her not to jump in or stop your train of thought,
Ian? We're talking.
But let me ask you, because you have the experience with a lot of our at-risk kids.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that the parent who, because the lady who you're describing right there seems like the responsible type, But now we know. We grow up with the irresponsible thing.
There's many irresponsible.
Well, and I mean not to say you're being judgmental, but you do have that same lady, and in all honesty, that same lady always seemed to have the children who always the disciplined ones. That's how my experience in growing up. My mother was the get up early, go to work two jobs, leave me and my sister home. But when it came to discipline or making certain that we stayed in order, she never cracked a smile when it came to that. Then I grew up with neighbors who, guess what, their mother and father didn't even care. Like, they weren't the ones who were getting up. They was the ones who kind of encouraged their children to, hey, man, guess what, you are making in this life, but you got to do certain things. You got to carry yourself a certain way. So are we able to say, like I say, and not be judgmental, but call it as we see it, how do we separate that to say, you know what, we got the lady over here who being responsible, or the father who being responsible, but we got some bad actors. Do we call them out? How do we deal with them again?
So,
okay. You have a lot of callers. Go ahead.
Yeah. Why do we figure we have to call them out? Like, how does calling somebody out kind of is like embarrassing someone?
Okay.
How do we support them? Because to me, we should be moving. See, right now as a society, we want to fix things. We want to fix people. But you don't fix people. People heal. You know what I'm saying? You fix things. And when your mindset moves from fixing something to healing someone, that's a whole different vibe that you get from that. And we have to realize that we all have shortcomings, but some of us have less support than others. And what you would find is those individuals who you're describing, first of all, we don't know the numbers, because from where I sit, that's a small minority. The majority of students that end up at Program Share, their mothers are trying to make it.
Right, that's what I wanted to
know. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, as society, we assume that the mother who is not interested is the majority of these children's parents. But some mothers they're just trying to make it. Yeah. And so, when we want to scapegoat in a kind of a way and say it's our way and how can we fix up, then we emphasize on that. But we have to focus on how do we create the support? How do we address the concerns of society? Men missing from the home, that's one part of it, but also the pay that women are receiving. You know, fair pay, to be able to pay someone to be able to take care of the child so that someone is there. How do we rebuild the community so that the neighbor now is more involved? Because when we have the community as a resource, what you find is that a lot of these issues didn't exist. We focus on one time ago, these things wasn't happening as much.
No.
And we say, oh, because people used to get beat and because of this, that, people never used to play. But actually what it was we had more community then.
Yes.
Right. So back to when you were doing, because I remember when we came out of school, mm-hmm. you were doing a lot of community service. Mm-hmm. You what like, how come that didn't grow as much as it, like I, something that, no, like you, how did you feel about that? Like, no, was it really reaching
Listen,
where you
Caro,
needed to reach?
Caro, mm-hmm. a lot of people ask me that, you know, what happened to the Endava Project? First of all, we're still in operation. We support the families who are part of our program up to this date.
Right.
So it evolves over time. We no longer have an after school program. But I don't have to feel guilty about it. When we were doing that, we were the only ones doing it.
I remember.
We were the only ones, especially in that community. We were the only ones.
My thing
but
was,
now,
why
you
didn't
have,
it catch on as much as
of
it
Of course
should
it catch on. Uh-huh. You know how many different after-school programs they have in that community now? They have people doing things, but it's not going to be on the news.
Right.
You have to be there to see that there are things that are going on.
Yeah. I want to...
We can't
show you some
numbers. We don't control the news, And that's a whole other conversation. But if we are more involved in our communities, then we will know about these things that are going on.
Going back to Dr. Sean Knowles, there's some statistics what I got from the Ministry of National Security. This is Dr. Kiva Battle, who works with Dr. Allen. Mm-hmm. And this is the incidence of suicide in the Bahamas from 1991 to 2021. Mm-hmm. According to this chart, from 1991 there were to 1992, there were four suicides. From 1992 to 1993, there were eight suicides. From 1994 to 1995, there were five suicides. From 1997 to 1998, it ran up to 20 suicides. Then 2001, 2002, 2003 ran from 6, 3, 3 to 2. Then 2006, then we have, let me go way down to 2014, there was 12 suicides. But each of the past years in between there, we're having like 4, 5, 7, 10, and 11, and 8, 6, 12, 7. The 2016, 4. Then you got up here, 2016, 12. Then you go back down. So it's a spike up and down. Mm-hmm. So this is the incident of suicide in the Bahamas from 1991 to 2021. So there's a lot of people here who took their lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they had mental issues in the country. Mm-hmm. And this is a survey, 2021.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right? So when we see these kind of numbers, this is what your organization, what you're trying to introduce, to stop some of these by talking to persons and see if you could reach them and find what their problems are in the country. And this is real statistics, BMN people.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And if I can comment on that, I also read the same paper done by Drs. Allen and Bethel from 2000-2013 where they looked at the number of suicides and they found that there were 96 suicides in the Bahamas with the majority of them being men between the ages of 35 and 44. So with that, and hanging was the number one methodology used for suicide. So I think it's important that we realize that because mental illness, when not treated, the possible end result of it could be suicide. And with that, again, you know, I said that men have more successful suicide attempts by a ratio of 4 to 1. Women tend to have more attempts by a ratio of 3 to 1. All right, so it goes to say that if men are not getting the treatment that they need, it could escalate to a point where they end up taking their lives. And once he makes up in his mind, he's going to end his life. He's going to make sure it's done in the most lethal means, you know, be it by hanging, which is the number one methodology, or by use of firearm.
Why hanging? And I mean, what does it take a human being to reach a point where he would take a gun and point his head, or take a rope? I mean, actually go up on the ceiling. Think about this for a minute. That means that being brewing in a poison for a long time, that poison wanted to talk to somebody, but didn't have access to nobody. Mm-hmm. You know, it is to plot that out and then make up your mind to actually take a rope, you know, tie it up in the ceiling or a wire, and then you're thinking, and then you're going to tie it around and loop that, and then you're going to look at something that you could bucket or chair or whatever the et cetera is, and you're going to take that and put that right there, and then you're going to tie that, you're going to pull that knot. Mm-hmm. Now, all this, you're thinking this, you're thinking it step by step, and who you think they're talking to?
So let me answer that question this way. There was a survey done by the Ministry of Health called the STEP Survey in 2018 where they looked at New Providence and I believe six other islands. That survey found that there were 17,000 Bahamians, which represents 6.3% of the adult population, persons over the age of 18 that seriously considered ending their lives.
Huh?
What?
This is before COVID, yes. Right, before the COVID pandemic. The reasons that they found based on that survey, untreated mental illness, financial stress, relationship stress, just everyday stress, right? Interestingly, I just came from Eleuthera where I was working with a young man who was considering suicide, right? He has these bills that he has to pay. He was put in court. He has his wife, according to him, is nagging him. And day by day, and he has an alcohol use disorder on top of that. so to try to deal with it. So day by day, he's constantly bombarded with these issues, and he doesn't seem to be getting any help anywhere. And so he thought about just going in Eleuther and jumping over the cliff and ending his life. Thankfully, he had persons who were concerned about him that reached out to me, which is why how I ended up there. So I say that to say, you know, when you get to that point of desperation, when you feel nobody cares, you know, 2015 showed that with Shamika McKinney when she drove over Montague.
That's my cousin and her two daughters. And yeah. and listen, she was going through that same what he's talking about. That's my cousin. She drove off the thing with her two daughters.
Yeah.
To talk to her. She was a teacher.
And she went to see her daughters. It's worse enough for her to end her life.
Yeah, and she was around the corner, and she was riding around to all her family members, and for some strange reason, like, no one could reach her, and she just decided to go there and drive the car off with the two children. And then the one on Long Wharf, remember when a few years before that, the lady carried two daughters on Long Wharf, and remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember, with her daughter, remember?
Yeah,
she did the same thing, too, so... Yeah. These are what we are facing in the country. We really need to be there for these people. That's what you're saying. Yep. We really need to be there for them.
Absolutely. And we need to have our resources in place. And again, I use the biopsychosocial spiritual approach because we've proven that that is what's effective. That is what makes a difference if you treat each of those that a person is dealing with. So there's no cookie cutter for you know, individuals.
Mm.
It doesn't work that way. You know, some people may have a better family support, but they may have had some serious issues that may have caused them to develop these mental health issues.
Wow.
All right, so you have to look at each individual and treat each of those areas accordingly. So if you're going to give them the help that they need. And so that's why we need all hands on board. We need the Ministry of Health. I need the Ministry of Social Services involved. I need, you know, the Ministry of Education involved.
Yes, yes.
All of us working together, our law enforcement officers, our physicians, especially on the family islands, you know, all of us working together to increase the amount of mental health resources to give people the opportunity.
And to add some point to that. They say during this 19 months of COVID-19, now we're hitting the 20 months, but it looks like all the restrictions are easing down. They said that this is the most divorce they have seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people got married, but this is the most divorce they have seen in the last 19 months. People who just get married in a year or 6 months getting divorced. What's going on here?
I think it goes back to what Ian says.
Yeah, so what's going on here?
Again, kind of expose
everything. Hey.
The fabric was going. But my thing is like, okay, we understand that issue. How do we now, I mean, obviously what you all are saying is how we can get back to those things. And gentlemen, I asking you all, I mean, because you all in it. You understand? From two levels, y'all, in terms of the front line, I would guess, I would say, you'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
How would someone like myself or Dario, Valentino, also part of in it, how do we now become involved in helping you all kind of reach or reconstitute our social net, the village? How do we get back to that?
Well, a few things I would say. I work at Program Shaw. We are developing a mentorship program, so all of you are welcome to come down and be a part of that. But also, too, I think we have to make a shift.
Call the company right now.
As individuals. I hear people saying, you know, get so focused on what's wrong with the Bahamas. You know, there was a video that I saw where somebody said, this is not paradise. What do you mean this is not paradise? Because the roads ain't paved, this is not paradise? No. We have to be able to appreciate what we have. And we spend so much time inside. Like, we just a walk on the beach could help someone, not with major depression, they would need to see the doctor for that. But sometimes we just have stress that we're going through. If you go for a walk on the beach, that'll be so good. You go for a run in the morning. That would be so good to be able to clear your mind. And we don't do these things. We'll go to the gym and lift some weight. That might work. But then when you ain't get the money to do that, what then? You could just put on your shoes and just go for a walk, you know, and tell yourself, okay, today I can try. You got lampposts. To say, from this lamppost to this lamppost, I can try, see if I could walk faster. Then I walked to that last lamppost. So your mind ain't thinking about when mother sick. Now all them children home and what I can do for them. for that one moment, you are able to relieve that pressure and that stress on your mind just through mm-hmm. exercise.
Wow. Mm-hmm. We're going to take this next call. Ali, producer. Ali, the thing. Ali. Not wearing the glasses. We can take this call, please. Go ahead, caller. Sorry for taking so long.
You all right?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right. My name is Eduardo Daxon. I want to give a shout-out to the Dr. Stuart Knowles. Last year sometime, I did a video with him about the same topic, mental illness. I'm a video game streamer, and I was talking to him about it because I had recently played a game that spoke on the issues of mental illness. And I presented it to him, and I did a video with him. And Stanya Davis, she's also a life coach. She calls herself a life coach, but she's a therapist, and she I do work with her too. But I made the video to help raise awareness on the subject of mental illness, and it's good to see that he's out there continuing to spread the word about it. And you know, I just want to encourage him to keep doing that, and encourage everyone in the studio to keep their themselves aware about the realism of mental illness in this country, because the stigma is amongst everyone else that mental illness is not taken seriously in this country, and you will find that there are a lot of people who think that, and I think that needs to change. So with the help of Dr. Stewart and many other people who work in the psychiatric field, I wish them all the best, and I want to see things. I want to see people do better. I want this subject to be taken more seriously, because it really isn't in this country. And like shows like this, topics like this need to be discussed all the time in different formats. So yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, thank you so much, my friend. It's great to hear from you. And yes, that was an awesome, I think, initiative that you did with the video gaming and then teaching persons who will be using that platform about the importance of mental illness. And that is one way. You know, Ricardo, going back to your question, what you can do is you can do whatever sphere of, you know, life that you have. And it could be divided into macro level or micro level. So at the micro level, meaning you see someone, you know, in your establishment, your wonderful Drifters restaurant I enjoy, you see one of your staff members having a bad day, you notice that they're depressed or sad. You talk to them, you pull them aside, see what's going on. You may even want to bring, you know, a mental health specialist to take a day to talk to them about these issues, to educate them so that they can have a better opportunity of taking care of themselves.
Right.
And at the macro level, push for your politicians to do stuff that's going to make a difference in this country, man. We've elected them. I mean, I have yet to hear anything about the mental health issues that we're dealing with. You know what? I'm not knocking down anybody, but I just have a problem. You're spending millions of dollars on sidewalks, right? But your people are your greatest resources. Your people are suffering. We're not doing anything that we should do to help these people, to help each other, to help us as a nation. I have a problem with that, okay? But if nobody says anything, all we do is complain, we don't push for things to happen, we don't go out there and get our hands dirty and do what we know we can do, nothing is going to happen. And so that is what I want to see. Whatever you can do, because we can all do something. And whatever that something is, that is going to add up to make a difference.
Wow, crazy. Go ahead. We need to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Yeah, they left. And you know what I see with you, Mr. Knowles? See, first-hand view is a very serious thing. That's why I'm so passionate what I do when I speak about inner city, when I talk about crime, when I talk about poverty, when I talk about solutions that can actually work to make a difference in the country. See, looking at you, I can see that you experience these things over the course of the year. You interact with these persons who come in there. That's why I say, don't say crazy, because you know yourself by your experience and getting to know people, you know, finding what their problem is. First, it was difficult to deal with, but as you build a friendship and you get to understand, they start to talk to you and open up to you, you get to find out that there's something went terribly wrong with this person, put them in a situation. So that's why you're so passionate about this. That's why you're telling us to talk to our leaders in the country to make this an issue. They're spending millions and millions of dollars on the side of the road, steady investors' money on programs that is actually going to be beneficial to persons, at-risk persons who really need the help that they really truly deserve, and we are failing them in this country, because if we look at what's going on in the country, we look at what's before the court, if we look at our kids in the country, there's no way that a guy stand up with a cutlass in his hand is going to see two, three police stand up with these big, long guns, knowing that the police, you know, to actually go and attack the police. Mm-hmm. You understand? So that's how serious it is. So definitely this is a issue that we need to have more discussion on. This is a issue that we really need to have more discussion on. And Mr. Knowles, I know that you're very passionate about it. You could hear it in his voice, and he sees these things. You know, he wakes the silence. He wants that name to be changed. It's actually an institute. What would you call it?
I mean, first thing, and somebody brought up a very good point. We could change the name that we want, but people are going to still see that as being a place, you know, whatever pejorative term they think of, for helping persons with mental illness. Let me just say it as nicely as that. So I say that to say, yes, if the name change is going to make a difference, let's change the name. So whatever, the Bahamas Mental Health Institute,
right,
whatever, you know, something to that nature. All right. If Sandilands, if that is going to conjure up some sort of a way that you don't want to be admitted or you don't want your loved one admitted, when the mere fact is it's a hospital.
Yes.
It's a hospital.
We used to call the prison Fox Hill Prison. Now we call it Correctional, the Bahamas Correctional Center. So it serves a purpose to change the name.
Yeah, so change the name, paint the buildings, put whatever.
I have a question. In my time growing up as a youngster, I think I saw violently a mental person probably about once or twice as a young boy growing up. What is the cause? What you would say right now is the cause of so many young people having mental issues in the Bahamas today? Because there's a lot of young people, you know, my teenage, early 20s, going through mental distress.
Yeah.
What I would say is it relationship-wise, finances? Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot, and it's at a height right now for me. This is the first time I've ever seen it at the site.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't have a straightforward answer. It's multifactorial, you know. Like I, you know, alluded to earlier, when we were growing up, I don't remember us having these kinds of issues, even as teenagers in high school, you know, compared to what we're seeing today. But, you know, one of the things I want to say that's very, very concerning to me, and if I can get that, one of my messages to young persons has to do with the use of drugs and alcohol. The brain, we know scientifically, does not complete development until about age 21, 22, 23, 24. And so what happens is when a young person starts using alcohol or marijuana or lean in the form of codeine with the Sprite, which we're seeing a lot of, or marijuana edibles, so what it does is it causes the stuntation of the brain. It causes the brain not to be fully developed. And so as a result of that, their problem-solving skills become deficient, because the frontal lobe is the last part of the brain that's developed. Our brains develop from a back-to-forward manner. And so if you have that, that puts that young person at a disadvantage, not only because their brain hasn't been developed and they're not able to problem-solve correctly or deal with executive decision-making processes, but also it sets them up for having a serious addiction later on in life, where they're going to be possibly in and out of rehab, really struggling with that substance that they're using. And so, you know, I say to them, if you're going to use, wait until your brain is developed before you start drinking, before you start using marijuana. Give yourself that opportunity.
I have the comment. What is such a great question you asked, and what is such a great answer? So you know what that means, right? If the majority of people who live in inner city, kids, male and female, is 13, 14, 15, and they're smoking marijuana. Then you know what you guys just did just now? You all just tell us. We get a big problem. Because that means the majority of those young men and young female going before the court, all of them have mental issues, because you were saying that the study has shown that the brain has not developed till the age of 21. So if you're using the substance, you're not going to be able to deal with the equation, think properly, make right decisions and choices. So we're thinking the people are saying, so when we're saying on the news, a 17-year-old man charged with murder, that person has a mental issue, because we do the background check, and you are analysts, and you do a background check, because you talked about everything. And you do a background check, you'd see this person mom was on drugs. It passed. You say it passed onto the child. Now the child himself has a mental issue, but we put them, they do crime. We put them, we prosecute them, put them before the court. We don't do no survey whatsoever on their file, and then we take them to put them in prison where they get 20 times worse. And when they're released back in society, they come back with a heinous crime. Yeah. I'm going to give you a prime example. Yeah. You should know my our schoolmate, Kofi Goodman. You know me as Eduardo Ferguson. He came to Donald Lewis in 1989, 1990. He went to prison at the age of 15, 16. Then when we listened, we saw where he got molested in prison. And then he came back out. Then we listened, he was responsible for the death of Marco Archer. Mm-hmm. All right? Same thing I could say with my friend Timothy Cole, who grew me up, who just got 25 years for killing Inspector Batch. Same scenario. So when we hear Brayman talking about the guy keep on coming on this property, so we see repeated offenders. We are saying that they are young men or men, but they have a mental issue. Mm-hmm. The reason why they are repeated offenders is because we're treating them with the court system and the judiciary system. But that's not the answer. We need to have them go to the mental medical center and evaluate them, along with assistance with the court. Because you said that if a poisoner was messing with the property, like Harper Raymond said, mm-hmm. that, you know, you would start to go to the court, and the court would restrict that person go to San Anderson to get treatment, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what the court can be useful for. Yeah. It serves its purpose. So we are in some serious trouble. A lot has been exposed here tonight on the show, and I hope that the powers to be find Dr. Sean Knowles and Mr. Murray. You say from what's your organization just again?
Program Sure.
Program Sure. And find ways that we could help incorporate these wonderful programs all around in the country, because we need them.
Absolutely.
We need them. We have a few more minutes. You want to say anything before we go? I see the phone lines lit up, but we don't have no more time for no more calls, but you want to say anything before we go? We got 15 minutes, so we can play. Go ahead.
We got some time.
Yeah, we got 15 minutes.
Yeah, just to finish your question.
Right.
And to add on to what Dr. Knowles said, right? You guys are businessmen, right? Do good business. Do good business. And then support initiatives. We just heard a young man call and say he's a game developer.
Yes.
In order to have education, we have to meet the people where they are.
Yeah.
So he's a game developer. Sean is a doctor. They've worked together to try and create something to help with the knowledge. I'm sure if they had some more funding, it could go further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What we have to begin to realize is that when we talk about community and we take our power and we put it exclusively in the hand of the politicians, we're taking away our own power as opposed to saying, what can we do? Asking that very same question. What can we do with the resources that we have to solve the problems? Because remember, when our great-grandparents had problems in their communities, they didn't have the government to turn to.
They had the village.
And they had each other.
Yeah.
And so now we aren't going to school with no shoes on anymore. We got, like, closets full of Jordans, some of us. Well, not me, but some of y'all.
Yeah. Why say some of us?
You know? But we have to rethink how do we use the resources. And you guys shouldn't have to be thinking about that. I do the work already. Sean does the work already. If you all would partner with us.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We have something at Drifters that Sean can come to and speak to.
Absolutely.
Sean's name is going to, Dr. Knowles' name is going to pull some people.
Yes. I really like him.
You know, Drifters is going to pull some people. How do we bring these people together using the resources we have? And I guarantee you, when it start working, the politicians are going to come looking.
You're right.
They're going to come looking. And it might just be the icing on the cake, what they do, you know. But they'll have a part to play. If the cake ain't there, They walking around with that icing and everybody saying, man, we want cake, you know. We want cake with icing. Politician, you need to come bring this icing. Let's try see if we could bake one cake, our own self, and see how we could get it done. Because guess what? If we want cake, if they ain't come, we could eat cake without icing.
Yes. And like we said, stress is the number one killer. Mm-hmm. All right? Let me listen to that. So,
Doctor.
Yes. Knowles.
Yes, sir.
You're a professional. And by you speaking, we all know you're a professional. We hear your voice. You're passionate about it. You have the experience. What is your next step for you as a doctor, knowing that, knowing and seeing the challenges of poisons that, you know, you said, don't call them crazy. It's the reason, like I explained earlier, why you said that, because you build a relationship, you have seen hundreds of people come in through silence and your poison experience as you travel the world. So you can say this, because no one else has more experience than you unless there's a next administrator with your type of experience. Knowing that, right, those who are listening should take your word like 100% that we have a serious problem in the country. What can we do to get more information? What can we do if a poison odor is listening to this show, has some family member who has some type of problem like that, and needs someone to talk to? And what are your next steps, as I say? Are you trying to build a stronger organization at Sandlands, or your own personal side gig where you do it as a professional? Or, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. So it boils down to educating people. That's what I'm spending a lot of my days doing, educating people to understand how serious mental health is. And what they can do, not just teaching them about mental health, but what can you do to protect your mental health? Or should you be in a situation where you have a loved one who is dealing with a mental illness, what can you do to help that person?
Sir.
So I'm partnering with a lot of organizations already. I'm talking to persons within those groups. I'm doing a lot of shows like this where I'm trying to educate. I'm traveling to the family islands to do what I can do. And with that, I'm going to continue to do that. But what I would like to see now happen is for us to establish resources like what Ian has done with young men in particular. And with that, you know, we provide all of those basic needs that persons need in order to remain mentally well. Again, it has to be more than just giving them medication. All right, if the man can't find food to eat, if he has nowhere to stay, we have to address that. That's going to cause him to relapse. That's going to cause the mother to relapse if she can't put food on a table for her children. All right, so I'm hoping that the next step would be to get our policymakers and decision makers, and even if I have to go with private organizations, whatever we have to do to build, you know, mental health resources, places where we can get persons off the street, we can have a multidisciplinary team that can treat all of their issues, give them an opportunity to now have the best quality of life. Do that on the family islands. Persons who are in need of talk therapy, have psychologists there to provide that kind of service to them. And with the education, you know, again, I focus on prevention. The same message to our adolescents. Do not start using drugs. Allow your brain to develop. Don't even engage in sex because there are behavioral addictions. Don't start gambling. All of that affects you, your quality of life, and how you are going to be able to progress later on if you just allow your brain to fully develop. The other thing that I also do is educate about, you mentioned exercise. Scientifically, 150 minutes per week, if you can do that, three times a week for 50 minutes, that does a tremendous difference. It helps mitigate depression. It helps your cardiovascular fitness. It helps you sleep better. It helps you to process better. It helps your memory, all right? Just by exercising, and we're not capitalizing on that. The diet has to be on point. A plant-based diet has been shown to be the best diet. The Mediterranean diet is regarded as the best diet in the world.
Mediterranean.
It helps to deal with all of these physical issues we're dealing with, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, obesity, so on and so forth. If we just go back to basic fundamental principles such as diet and sleep, if you're not sleeping well, you know, educating people, we as adults should get 7 hours of sleep. And again, that's based on science. If you're not getting that, you are not going to function properly. It's going to catch up with you. Your immune system is not going to function optimally, and so on and so forth. And so if people know these things, if they have that understanding, I think at the end it will help them to prevent them from developing serious problems later on in life.
Before you go, you talked about it. Healthy eating. Healthy eating has a lot to do on how it affects the human body, right? I think it's affecting the way where it changed the metabolism of the human body, and the poison actually becomes like violent because of what they consume in their body. I heard all this. It has to do with healthy living, like you said. Could you give us a little glimpse of?
Yeah, I mean, let's just use a fundamental example, and I'm not going to call anybody out, but you're eating the greasy chicken and the fries. That does something to you. That causes you to feel luggy. You feel tired. You can't think. You want to sleep. All right? As opposed to eating a plant-based diet, rich green foods, rich in antioxidants and vitamins and minerals, that's going to do your body good. That's going to help to nourish your from your brain all the way down to your skin and your joints.
Wow.
All right? But then the flip side of that is we have to make these foods available and affordable.
They're too expensive.
Yeah. I mean, what is Bumsy doing? I mean, why aren't we able to feed 400,000 people on the land that we have with the okra and the cabbage and the fruits and the vegetables that we have? Why are we not doing that? Why are we still importing? You know, with the potential of this Russian and Ukraine war, there's a potential that we may have food shortage. And you mean to tell me we're still not self-sufficient as a nation? That makes me sad, because at the end of the day, we are considered one of the richest nations, if not in the Caribbean, in this part of the world. We should be at the forefront. All right? What has happened over the last 40-some years since we've become an independent nation? And so I think about all of this, and, you know, at the end of the day, I just do what I know that I can, that I think is going to make a difference. I can't solve the world's problems. I can't solve our problems. But if we all come together,
collectively,
we can put our heads together and come up with solutions. And I think that's where we need to start. Come together with solutions, and let's enforce change, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'm glad you talked about that. What we need to realize, too, is when we look at COVID-19, you know, they talked about getting a vaccine and then getting, the booster shot and all that. But when we did some research, they're saying if the human immune system, right, eating healthy, like the fruits and vegetables and et cetera we talked about, right? If you develop your immune system, it's more likely that you would not catch the COVID-19. In fact, if your immune system is strong with eating healthy, it protects you. You know, you get all the vitamins and nutrition and et cetera, you with the sleep. This alone keeps you living long and keeps you away from diabetes and cancer and blood clot and all these et cetera stuff. So what doctor is saying is actually true. You know, all this affects us as human beings. And this is some knowledge that we're getting from the doctor and Ian Murray in here in studios today. You know, I just want to say, you know, I hope I can help you come in and just give us some more information, because you're so informative. I know a lot of people that listen to the show has been very, very entertained tonight on the show, because you talk about a lot of stuff. You let me know, you know, stop calling people crazy, and I respect that after listening to the conversation. And I come to my own resolve that some of these people aren't crazy. They're going through a lot. And if you have the proper mechanism in place, like what you're speaking of, I think we can see a big change in the country. But based on the fact that you're saying, if you're smoking marijuana or drinking rum or having sex at the age of 13, 14, 15, 16, your brain is not fully developed at the age of 21. And based on the statistics out there of how many young teenagers we get out there, and with my own eyes, seeing how many young kids out there at that age having sex and smoking marijuana, then I could see why we are in big trouble. Mr. Murray, you want to say anything before?
Nice.
You asleep.
I think it's all pretty much been said, you know. I come from the aspect of building community. When we have community, then we have a whole lot less issues. And I know some people will say, well, the community ain't what it used to be. The community is what we make it.
Yes.
The community is what we make it. And so we have to begin to not just apportion blame to someone else, but say, what can I do? Because the only people who could fix any problem is the people who take responsibility for it. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you say it's someone else's business, only that someone else could fix it. And so for us to get where we need to go, I think we are on a path.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're on a path because some of these things, the community hasn't been broken just now. We're just now beginning to have the massive conversations that we needed to have in order to fix it.
Yeah.
And so the pendulum is really swinging in the next direction for me, right? And I think we have to do the things necessary, working together, not necessarily me being Dr. Knowles or Dr. Knowles being the owner of Drifters or your establishment or Joey's, you know? Dr. Knowles might not be able to fry chicken as good as Joey.
You know what I mean? Most likely not.
And it don't work out, you know. Yeah. But we have to begin to and support each other.
Yeah.
You know, as men,
right.
We used to have sports that we would play, and that would be like women could just sit down and talk. They got their problems, they talk about that. Child, please you hear what happened. Men actually exchange better when they're doing something. If you're fixing a car, you know, you could say, what's going on? That you're doing some landscaping while you're working together. And that's what we have to begin to do. Mm-hmm. We as men have to begin to support each other in as many ways, especially our young men.
Yes,
I agree. So we have to make ourselves and our resources. And resources isn't just money. No. Resources is everything that we have.
Time.
Sometimes they just need time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, you as a business owner, speaking to a young man who wants to be a gang leader, that's his aspiration. He wants to be a leader of a gang. There are some similarities between what you do and what he is aspiring to do that if he were exposed, he might want more.
Yes, yes.
And these are the types of things that we have to do. It's not about being perfect. It's not about finding that right solution is about all of us coming together.
Collectively.
Yeah. No one, I just heard this the other day, no one of us is smarter than all of us.
Good point.
Yeah.
I want to just read this real quick. This is some good survey by Kiva Babel. In 1968, we had 5 murders. From 1963, we had 5 murders. From 1963 to 1975, we had 22 murders. From 1975 to 1979, we had 41 murders. From 1979 to 1981, we had 19 murders. From 1983 to 1985, we had 25 murders. From 1994, we had 33 murders. From 1994 to 1999, we had 52 murders. From 1999 to 2001, we had going up to 60 murders and then going to 40 murders in 2003. 2005 to 2007, we had 50 murders. 2009, we had 73 murders. 2011, we had 83 murders. 2013, we had 127, the highest ever in the country. I always remember the year. But it looked like everyone was getting shot. Looked like you come outside, you could just getting shot. But I know what's going on that year. You all remember that year?
It was 2011?
That was 2013. Yeah.
That was a good year.
That's 149 going that year, right? No, 127 going that year, then 149 the next year. So 2014 and 2015, there was bloodbath in Nassau. That's the Fox Hill shooting, man, like in the club shooting. It was, boy, listen, them 2 years, that was like, we had 120, what is this? We had 127, then we had 119, then we had 122. All this happened between 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. But 2014, we had 149, all right? So we had a lot of mental issues in the country, you know? That's crazy. Then to 2018, we had 96. 2019, we had 68. And then last year, 2021, we had 119. So you see that? We started 5 in 1963. Then we end up from 1963 to 2021. Let's go to the record all-time greatest, 149 in 1 year.
You know what's surprising to me? When he was reading those numbers, I was expecting when, you know, the proliferation of the drug trade, like where we really was in them 80s and 90s, I thought it might have been higher.
No, listen.
But when you combine all them years, even the last few years, they don't even come close.
See, the population grew. So when you see 1991, you see it going up to 33. That's when all of us was a drug. We were the drug babies and the drug gangsters. Then when we started to fade out, it's our children. You know, our children.
We create them.
Yeah, then you see it go from them to the next generation. Then that's why it's going so crazy there, you know, because we didn't talk to Dr. Norris. We didn't want Dr. Norris diagnosed that we had a problem. But all of us had a problem. There's so much problem we have here in the country. And look at the suicide. And this is suicide also. Yeah, there's some serious statistics.
A lot of, you know, back in the 80s, back in the 70s and 80s, the drug kingpin back in them days, they never used the young kids.
No.
They were drugs.
No. They used the young kids.
Drug kingpins, they are cowards. They used
teenagers.
So the crime rate is higher. The teenagers are exposed more to crime now than they did back in the 70s
yes.
and 80s.
Yes.
Most of the murders you see happening in the 149, 127 are teenagers,
yes.
Early 20s.
Yes.
You understand? When I was a child growing up, they had young king, drug kingpin back in the day. 13, 12, 13, they ran you inside.
Yeah.
They give you $20, they kept going inside.
Yeah.
You understand? But now, they didn't go on the block, make this happen for yourself.
Yeah. Just like recently, when the former minister, husband got killed, and we saw when the commissioner stated that, you know, I think he was under 21 or 22 years old or a little younger, the police said that it was a hit. So that same young guy you're talking about right there, someone paid him some dollars to get rid of the former minister's husband. And the commissioner of police stated that it was a hit. So your answer was completely correct. We're completely out of time, but Dr. Norris, you know, I really want to have you come down, you a full show for a whole hour and 30 minutes. When you have some time, I want you just come and you just talk.
Okay.
Because we it's some good information. You know, a lot of people texting me said it's a good information, you know, and they are family members who are also showing signs of that, but sure. No one seems to diagnose it,
right.
Diagnose it, the case. So I guess it's very informative, and I think that our country needs you more than ever, and you at Sandlands, and you see the volume of people that comes through there, and you just stated, if Sandlands wasn't there treating those many people, we would have so much more happening. Absolutely. In our country. So, in closing, you want to say anything to the general public?
Yes, well, first of all, I'd like to thank you and
my pleasure.
For inviting me. Thank you for this opportunity to share. And if you're ready again, I'll do my best to make time available.
Definitely.
To share, you know, what I think is a very timely, very important topic that we need to discuss. So I would be more than happy to do that. And that's my closing remarks. Bahamas, just take care of yourself. Take care of each other. You know, that person you think is the strongest person, maybe the most depressed, you know, that young man you think has it all together, who may not indicate in any way, shape, or form that he's sad, but really and truly, if nobody asks him, you won't know. So take care of each other. Find out how other people in your circle are doing. And let's try to make a better Bahamas in whatever ways that we can do that. Let's do it, as Ian said, collectively together.
Yeah. Because we came up our own analogy in here, and when you talked about the 21, and if you're smoking marijuana or drinking rum and having sex in between 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, then your brain is not fully functional. So people who we see going before the courts, underage, that means their brains is not fully developed. That means they have a mental problem, and we should address it. Mr. Ian Murray, say something real quick for the people.
Yeah. Let's just do what we got to do to get where we want to go.
All right. Thank you very much. We got Brooke Shorten Studios, alias Scrubber, owner of Jovius Restaurant and Bar, situated on Fish Fried, a quarter mile away from Junkanoo Beach. I want to say, you know, Scrubber has expanded to Canada. I want to also thank him for sponsoring the show. You know, this is the third week. I think I have two more weeks of sponsor. I want to say... Just thank you, brother. You know, it goes good to put something in the cookie jar for Guardian Radio. And I really like the fact that you expand your business, your mind, It's expanding. You're now looking to go to Canada, and I want to encourage young people out there also, you know, look online. Get yourself involved with a business or start something that is positive and stick to it. You never know where it's going to carry you. You know, Scrubber is going to be in Canada, you know, Joey's in Canada, you know. I want to say thanks to my good friend, Drifters. Yes, he's in studios tonight, and he said he's going to sponsor the show also. So that's two sponsors coming from these two businessmen. And I'd like to encourage persons of your stories or have programs like Dr. Knowles or Ian Murray. You know, please, this is a show for you to come and talk about it, because we want to find out the great work you're doing in the country. So I want to say thanks to Philip Cryer. I see you looking. Philip, you see Scrubber in the studio. Yeah. All right. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you next week on Inside Inner City. Boy, I from Litton, bro.